You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully on this episode, which is being dropped on the 20th day of March. It's already late March, everybody. We are going to be talking about the potential 2020 season in terms of the National League Central with the hosts of various Locked On shows covering the NL Central. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and all places where you get your podcasts. You can tell your smart device or your smart car, whatever you use, to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen. You can follow us at Locked On MLB underscore net on Twitter. You can follow us on Locked On MLB on Instagram. And you can follow me. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball, Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. So yeah, we're still doing our previews of the various divisions. Today is the NL Central. And Scott Cullen of Locked On Fantasy Baseball has been giving you tips of a player to maybe get or maybe a player to avoid for each team. But first up, Sean Sears, who's normally with Locked On Cubs, is going to be talking about the St. Louis Cardinals.
Hello and welcome to the St. Louis Cardinals season preview here on the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Sean Sears, the Locked On Cubs host, and I know plenty of Cardinal fans are probably going to be annoyed that they've got a Cubs fan doing the Cardinals preview, but I decided to jump in here for Locked On and talk about the Cubs' biggest rival. We'll touch on a couple quick things, some of their biggest storylines, players to watch, and ultimately what we expect from the St. Louis Cardinals. But talking about some of the bigger storylines for this season, you look at this team, obviously losing Marcelo Ozuna in the outfield is huge. A big offensive production player, one of their best run producers on this roster, Ozuna last year, posting 89 RBIs last year, second on the team. And while obviously RBI is not the most important thing, when you look at the rest of this club, though, it goes Goldschmidt at 97, Marcelo Ozuna at 89. The next highest is 67, Paul DeJong had 78, and then Dexter Fowler 67. So there's a steep drop-off between Goldschmidt and then the rest of this lineup now. And without Ozuna, now the Cardinals are kind of looking to see who can replace him. There's been a lot of talk about Tyler O'Neill, a guy who had a really strong 2018 season, but 2019 didn't quite live up to the potential, and now you're kind of looking at him hoping he can produce something a little bit higher in terms of numbers. He struck out nearly 22% of the time last year. His contact rate is about 58%. That's brutal. So he's swinging and missing a bunch and not making good contact in general, on top of not making contact at all. So that's obviously a huge concern for Tyler O'Neill, but he's a guy that if he's able to figure it out and pull things together, that helps his outfield tremendously for the Cardinals. The other big question for the storyline is kind of how good this rotation can be. Obviously, Jack Flaherty's going to start out the year as a Cy Young candidate in the NL. You look at Miles Mikolas, a really strong number two starter, maybe a number three starter in some teams, but for the Cardinals, he's their second guy. But then you look at the rest of this team. Adam Wainwright had a strong 2019 season, one of his best seasons in his career in a long time. But at 38 years old and not really been able to consistently stay healthy, it's hard for the Cardinals to rely on him for 150 innings plus this year. And then if you do have a good team, what can you get out of him in the postseason? So those are questions. You look at the back end too, as well as Dakota Hudson, a guy who was highly touted as a prospect at one point, but it hasn't quite lived up to that. But you look at what the Cardinals had in their rotation just a couple of years ago with like Lance Lynn and Mike Leake and even a guy like Luke Weaver. Would have been nice at least depth to have in this rotation. There isn't a ton there. So the question is kind of how great can this Cardinals rotation be beyond Flaherty? We showed last year Flaherty wasn't good enough to pretty much drag this team with him, on top of some really great performances from guys like Tommy Edelman and Paul Goldschmidt and Colton Wong when he was healthy, to kind of pull this team and get him into the playoffs. And they had a really good chance against the Braves and obviously beat the Braves and had a good chance at advancing, but it was pretty clear after that point that the Cardinals were just kind of a step behind some of the top teams in the NL. And that's kind of what things are standing right now across the board in the NL Central, outside of like the Reds. These teams all kind of stood pat, outside of the Cardinals and Brewers kind of losing some key pieces. So the question is, where does that offense come from without Marcelo Ozuna? And then if this rotation can hold up, Best case scenario for this team to realize their top potential, they need someone like Tyler Olsen. They need Harrison Bader. They need someone, even like Dylan Carson, their top prospect, to come up and make a difference in the outfield. That's really what's going to change this team, because right now you can't rely on Goldschmidt alone to drive these runs in. Matt Carpenter probably doesn't have the same type of season he's had in the last couple of years, especially the tear he won on at the end of 2018. There's some guys that have potential. Like, obviously, Paul DeJong is one of the better shortstops and probably one of the most underrated players in the NL Central and the National League in general. That guy is great. A very talented shortstop, surprising pop, nearly 30 home runs last year. He's going to get close to that likely this year. Players like that need to step up. The question is whether or not they can get consistency out of it. But their top positional player to watch is Paul Goldschmidt, without a doubt. He just signed an extension. He is looking to bounce back from a rough start to the season he had last year, but he kind of came on and he looked a lot like Paul Goldschmidt towards the end of the year. And Cardinals fans definitely felt like they were getting a good player. And obviously the Cardinals want him to stick around for a bit. He's definitely the heart and soul of this team at that point, not named Yadier Molina. Sorry, Cardinals fans. I forgot to mention Yadier Molina. Obviously, still one of the better defensive catchers. He'll be splitting time with Matt Wieters more this year. That makes a pretty solid backstop combination. But you have to wonder, as great as Yadi has been behind the plate, there's going to have to be regression coming. We've seen it at the plate offensively, defensively a little bit, but it's going to start happening. Then obviously their top pitcher to watch, Jack Flaherty. But another guy to watch, Carlos Martinez. Obviously, Flaherty's going to get the attention of the Cy Young potential. He's likely, or he's been tabbed as a National League Cy Young candidate before the season started, obviously. He's a very talented player and was one of the best players in baseball last year. But Carlos Martinez is really intriguing. If he can get back into this rotation, now suddenly this rotation looks a lot better, especially if Martinez can show he can start going those 5-6 innings. Last year, he was the team's closer and was relatively effective. He was effective against the Cubs, at the very least, but it's hard to see him fitting in as that closer role full-time. So if he can get to the rotation, that's a huge plus. And then the rookie to pay attention to, Dylan Carson, a guy that just tees off on the baseball. He had 26 home runs last year in minor league. A guy that, I mean, he's exactly what the Cardinals are missing right now. The question is whether or not they can really play Carson full-time. With Dexter Fowler on this roster and the amount of money committed to him, it's going to be tough for the Cardinals to sell. Pushing Fowler, who's one of their most expensive players on the roster right now, as a fourth outfielder, it's tough. But it's also probably time. Fowler's in his mid to late 30s. It's probably going to be tough to see him starting more than 120, 130 games this year on a consistent basis. So I think Carson comes up and makes a big impact. I think he's going to have to for the Cardinals to have success. But ultimately, my best guess on this team, 85 and 77 is what I think this roster equates to at the moment. I think there's pieces they could add. And I think if a player like Tommy Edelman, like Harrison Bader, like Tyler Olsen elevates their play, that could be the difference. But right now, almost all these teams in the NL Central are being projected to win somewhere between 80 to 90 games, which means all those games in between 80 to 90 are incredibly important, which means each win is crucial against this division. So if the Cardinals aren't quite great, but they play well against their division this year, that could be the difference, as we saw last year. So, but my pick, 85 and 77 for the 2020 Cardinals. I'm hoping for some big-time surprises, but I feel like this team has a lot of regression in them, and we could see that come out a little bit in 2020.
Hello, Cardinals fans. I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Baseball, with a couple of players for you to consider in the 2020 Major League Baseball season. Tried and true, catcher Yadier Molina is 37 now and only appeared in 113 games last season, but he doesn't hurt your batting average, hitting .270 or better in 8 of the past 9 seasons, and has provided double-digit home runs in 3 straight seasons. For years, Molina's defensive play has worked as an asset for fantasy because it kept him in the lineup more than most other catchers. Now, a Cardinal that I'm not so high on is right-handed pitcher Miles Mikolas. Consider me skeptical of a 31-year-old starting pitcher who had his breakthrough season at 29 and still doesn't strike out many hitters, with 6.7 strikeouts per 9 innings in 2 seasons with the Cardinals. A low strikeout rate scares me off most pitchers, but especially those that basically have one strong season in their career.
Miles Mikolas, is that how you pronounce it? I've been pronouncing it wrong for an entire season. Who knew? Well, the Brewers look to be good again, maybe get to the postseason for the third straight year. Ben Larson from Locked On Brewers is talking about the crew.
Hi, this is Ben Larson from Locked On Brewers for a little Brewer preview here in the 2020 season for Locked On MLB. And it's going to be an interesting year for the Brewers. I think if you look at the biggest storyline surrounding Milwaukee this year, it is, can they get to the playoffs for the third straight year, which would be a franchise record? Brewers have been around for 50 years. They've never done it. They've done two in a row twice now, 1981 and 82. Of course, in 82, they went to the World Series. And then, of course, 2018, 2019. So can they do it again this year, particularly since they cut payroll by 20%, which has a lot of fans around Milwaukee pretty upset, and they didn't make any big splash moves in the offseason outside, of course, of the most recent move, and that's locking up Christian Yelich long-term. But, of course, that doesn't add anybody to the team, and Brewer fans are a little nervous about what's going on with the Brewers roster this year. So what's the best-case scenario for the Brewers? Well, it's making the playoffs. It's winning the division, really. Maybe 90 wins. That could do it in the National League Central the way things look right now, or whatever the equivalent of 90 wins would be in a shortened season if that happens here. So that's probably the best-case scenario. What needs to happen for that to happen for the Brewers? Well, they're going to need to get outstanding pitching performances from Brandon Woodruff and Josh Hader, the two best pitchers on the roster, and they're going to need the rest of their starting pitching staff to really come and perform for this team. They're going to have to get a solid five-inning start type night each night, night in, night out, on average, from the rest of their starting rotation, which is a big stretch here to see if they can do that. And they're also going to need the top of their batting order to really perform. Yelich, Kane, you talk about Avisel Garcia, you talk about Keston Hira. Those guys plus Ryan Braun are really going to need to have great seasons for this team to realize potentially a division championship. How about the worst-case scenario? Well, pretty much if those things don't happen, right? If the Brewers struggle, you know, outside of injury, if they just can't be consistent offensively. They weren't very consistent offensively a year ago, and it led to a very mediocre-looking season until September when the Brewers got red-hot and ran their way into the playoffs as a wild card. But that was something they were looking to change by maybe they lost, you know, the likes of Mike Moustakas and Yasmani Grandal, but they made a bunch of moves. They tried to bring the floor of this team up and the versatility factor of this team up. They did that, but it remains to be seen if that's going to factor into a more consistent offensive approach. So that could go wrong. And also, they brought in some pitchers. Brett Anderson from Oakland, who has an injury history. Eric Luehr, they traded for from San Diego, and he's got options. He might be in the minor leagues a little bit this year, but maybe looking at him to be a starter. And then Josh Lindblom, they brought over from Korea. Worked with Eric Thames. Will it work for Lindblom in the pitching role? I don't know. The Brewers have some confidence in him, sent him to a three-year deal, but those guys, the rest of the starting rotation, are going to have to come through big and consistent for the Brewers. And if that doesn't go well, the Brewers probably don't go well in 2020. How about the top positional player to watch? I'm going to go with Keston Hira on this one. And because of his defense. Okay, he had, of course, and has a red-hot stick. He's a phenomenal hitter, a hot prospect still. He's out of prospect status, but he can really bring it on the offensive end. We saw that last year. Look for that to continue in 2020. But he is just north of a disaster at second base right now, showing not much at spring training again, where he's making errors all over the field before spring training got canceled. So what do they do with him defensively, and when do they need to pull him from the game if they have a lead in the 6th, 7th, or 8th, maybe 9th innings? It's hard to say. You hope he gets better at second base if you're a Brewer fan, but it doesn't look good right now. How about the top pitcher to watch? I'm going to go with Josh Hader, just simply because he's had two straight reliever of the year award-winning seasons in the National League. He's been outstanding, arguably the best reliever in baseball. But can he keep it up for a third year? Can he anchor that bullpen and be the phenom that he has been? It's hard to do 3 years in a row. It's hard to string it together year after year. If he can do it this year, you begin to think that he'll be able to do it for many years to come. We'll have to see. And how about the best guess on how the season ends? Well, I'm going to say 87 wins, or again, the equivalent of 87 for the Brewers, whatever that winning percentage is, depending on how long the season is. And they're going to finish just short of a division title. I think somebody will win 90 games and win the division, because that's usually what happens. But the NL Central promised to be extremely competitive here in 2020, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm Ben Larson from Locked On Brewers, and that's my Brewers preview for Locked On MLB.
Hello, Brewers fans. I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Baseball, with a couple of players for you to consider in the 2020 Major League Baseball season. Last season was the start of potentially big things to come for 27-year-old right-hander Brandon Woodruff, as he made 22 starts, he went 11-3 with a 3.62 ERA and a 1.14 whip. What stands out in particular is that Woodruff's strikeout rate of 29% shows that he can be overpowering. He has the kind of stuff, including a fastball averaging 96.5 miles per hour, that fits as a staff ace. Now, a Brewer that I'm not so high on is third baseman Eric Sogard, a 33-year-old journeyman who had the best season of his career last season, hitting 13 home runs with a .290 batting average and 442 plate appearances. He may very well contribute to the Brewers at third base this season and has the versatility to move around the infield if needed, but he doesn't have the track record to really count on him for fantasy purposes.
You're not hearing things. Sean Sears is back to talk about the Cubs.
What's going on, Cubs fans? I am Sean Sears, and you are listening to the Locked On Podcast Network. I am the host of Locked On Cubs, and we are doing a season preview of the Chicago Cubs for the 2020 season. Touching on some of the biggest storylines from this season, what are the best and worst case scenarios for this team, who are some players to watch, some rookies that can make a serious impact in 2020, and our best guess at where we see the Chicago Cubs landing in the final standings for the 2020 season. But the biggest storyline, it's kind of been the storyline since the season started. Chris Bryant, and whether he's going to be traded as well as some of the other players on this Cubs team. It's really going to come down to whether or not the Cubs have a strong performance in that first half. If they do start out poor to start the first half, you could really start to see the Epstein and this team start to evaluate trade pieces and start considering moving players sooner than they might have. But it's really going to be kind of an evaluation process up until the deadline. But players like Chris Bryant, Javier Baez, there's been talk of an extension. The deadline should be opening day, obviously with the coronavirus suspending all games in Chicago, at least until May, baseball likely until the end of March, until into April, potentially. The Cubs just got themselves a little more time to negotiate, which is great because their offseason pretty much didn't go anywhere because of the Chris Bryant grievance talk. So that's going to kind of be the storyline, is whether or not the Cubs can extend some of these players while also trying to remain relevant and not spend a ton of money, but also still spending money to improve, but trying to also lose some salary in the long run. So it's going to be a tough balancing act. So that's going to be a big storyline, is whether or not the Cubs come out and succeed, because that's what's going to pretty much dictate the direction they take in 2020. And the other question is how David Ross does. Obviously a former Cub, backup catcher, first year as a manager. We've seen a lot of players commend him and some of the differences between him and obviously Joe Maddon, who's now with the Angels. We'll have to see how Ross handles some of that daily game to game, you know, whether that's bullpen management, how he's handling his starters, when he's, you know, deciding to pull starters for a pinch hitter, a pinch runner, those type of things, those manager decisions. We haven't quite seen that, and it's tough to get a good feel for that in spring training. So more of that to come. We'll definitely want to evaluate what Ross does as a manager for his first month. So we'll keep an eye on that. But David Ross as a new manager, it'll be interesting to see him in Chicago. So best case scenario for this team and what exactly needs to happen. It's a strong start to 2020. That's what's going to make the biggest difference. Obviously, health is another major concern. We saw guys like Chris Bryant and Javier Baez. Bryant now, especially the last 2 years, hasn't been able to remain 100% healthy. Javier Baez going down that last month of baseball really made the difference for the Cubs. He was just starting to really heat up once again and losing his bat, his glove, his presence, just Javi-isms. El Mago in the field makes a big difference for this Cubs team. And Bryant and Baez staying healthy are likely the best case scenario for this team to be good as well as give these guys MVP chances. So it's a hot start to 2020. That's what makes a difference in this team. If they can get out to a great start, get themselves a good amount of leeway to, you know, deal with adversity when it comes through the season, because there's no way a team's going to, you know, go 162 games without losing. But if the Cubs can get out on top early on, it really sets themselves up for the rest of the season. Worst case scenarios is the team is not only not healthy but underperforms, and the Cubs then can not only not win games but also have a really tough time selling high on their players. They want to get value back. They're not going to just trade Chris Bryant and Javier Baez, but if this team falls flat on its face, not only is this team not going to be good, obviously, it kills any trade value they have. So they have to hope for great seasons from these guys. Positional players to watch. It really feels like Chris Bryant's coming into 2020 with something to prove. These last two seasons have really kind of weighed on him. And after coming through an offseason of just being constantly included in every trade scenario, you have to feel Bryant's ready to come out and smash some players. On top of that, he's a leadoff hitter. I think his run scoring potential is incredibly high in potential. With just so many good on-base guys behind him, they're going to start moving the chain. The ball's going to start moving around a little bit as long as they continue to hit and see pitches. So Bryant at the top of this is very intriguing. So, pitchers to watch, it's Yu Darvish, 100%. Yu Darvish changes the entire complexion of this Cubs rotation. When you look at the rest of these guys in the rotation, Kyle Hendricks, John Lester, Jose Quintana, likely Tyler Chatwood, or maybe Alec Mills, Yu Darvish is the only guy that really can take his game to that next level. He's the only one that really has the true swing and miss stuff in this rotation. And, I mean, he's just incredible. When he's confident, and we saw in the second half of 2019, there wasn't too many pitchers better than Yu Darvish. And he wasn't walking guys. He was consistently getting somewhere between 8 and 10 strikeouts, going 6 and 7 innings, playing around with pitches and then using him in the game hours before that knuckle curve coming out. He's a huge, huge difference maker because he takes his rotation and he brings it to another level. He's the only guy in this rotation that can do that. If Yu Darvish is healthy and in the right mindset, there's no telling what this guy can't do. So, rookies to watch, it's Nico Hoerner. He's got the best chance to make an immediate impact on this team. Second base is relatively open, and while Hoerner hasn't necessarily won that position outright yet, it's pretty clear the options that are there aren't quite going to succeed him in the near future. Guys like David Bote, new veteran Jason Kipnis, Daniel Descalso, disappointing season, but still on this roster. Nico Hoerner has a really good chance to win the second base position as well as make a big difference. And then my best guess for this team, like I was talking about with the Cardinals, the Cubs, along with a ton of the NL Central teams, are somewhere between that 80 and 90 win threshold, which means these interdivision games are going to be incredibly, incredibly important. If I had to guess how the Cubs finish, my heart tells me 90 and 72, but if I had to be realistic, 88 and 74 seems like the fit for the Cubs right now. So that's my pick for the Chicago Cubs. Make sure you check out Lockdown Cubs Monday through Friday. You can follow us on Twitter at Lockdown Cubs. You can follow me on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. Thank you, guys. And as always, go Cubs.
Hello, Cubs fans. I'm Scott Cullen, host of Lockdown Fantasy Baseball, with a couple of players for you to consider for the 2020 Major League Baseball season. Well, there are a bunch of strong players in the Cubs lineup. Guys like Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, and Javi Baez are reliable contributors. Wilson Contreras is a 27-year-old catcher who's hit 20 home runs with an average better than 270 in two of the past three seasons. He's a strong performer at a relatively weak fantasy position. Now, I'd be a little more careful with second baseman Nico Hoerner. A first-round pick in 2018, Hoerner is a solid prospect for the Cubs, but he's 22 years old and his minor league track record doesn't show a lot of power or speed. He's hit 297 in 375 minor league plate appearances, so maybe there will be some average there, but it would be more encouraging for Hoerner if he had produced some home runs or steals at a decent rate in the minor leagues. Without that, he becomes just another guy for fantasy purposes.
The Cincinnati Reds had a very productive and potentially very interesting offseason. Jeff Carr of Locked On Reds talks about their chances.
When it comes to the Cincinnati Reds in 2020, the biggest storyline by far is the fact that they have mandated that 2020, they are going for the World Series. And the reason that this is such a big deal is because when you look at the last decade, they made the playoffs three times. But the most recent year was 2013 when they lost in the wild card game to the Pirates. This year, they spent $166 million in free agents to get the team back to playoff contention. And that, more than anything else, it should be the goal for everybody, but it is absolutely the goal for the Reds in 2020. So do they hold up their end of the bargain when it comes to that? The best case scenario for the team is that they do make the playoffs. I think they've got the ability to make a deep playoff run with the roster that they've put together. What needs to happen to realize it is they need to stay relatively healthy. They don't have to have perfect health. Any team that has to have perfect health to be successful is not going to be successful. You're going to have injuries. But this team is deep enough that they can handle a couple of injuries for not super prolonged amount of times. But because of that, if they can stay relatively healthy and if the lineup can kind of play to the back of their baseball cards, something that they did not do in 2019, but with the additions of Nicholas Castellanos, Shogo Akiyama, and Mike Moustakas, this lineup could be a really powerful part of a playoff contending team. Now, here's the thing. When it comes to the worst case scenario for this team, I think their floor isn't that low. Based on at least the last 5 years, they've not been a 500 team. They've been under 500 ever since they lost that wild card game to the Pirates in 2013. I really think their floor is like 80 or 81 wins, and it would be an absolute surprise to me if they finish below 500. Now, the reason that that would happen is, A, they would have lots of injury problems, mainly with the starting rotation, because while they have six pretty good starters, I mean, they have five really awesome starters, and those are the guys that are going to begin opening day as the starting rotation. But if too many of those guys get hurt, they're not that deep in the farm system with guys who are ready to come up to the major leagues right now. So that could be an issue. And then also, if you've got a lineup that continues its struggles from 2019, regardless of the guys that they added for this year, that could be a big issue as well. Vegas has them at 83.5 currently, and I think they're going to be over on that. It would be a big surprise to me if they go under. But hey, it could happen. When it comes to the top positional player to watch for the Cincinnati Reds in 2020, I'm going to be looking at Nicholas Castellanos. He came in. Now, as far as free agent contracts goes, it's exactly the same amount as what they signed Mike Moustakas for, except for one key factor. They gave Castellanos an opt-out after his first and after his second year. If Castellanos can come in and tear it up, he could possibly raise his value up and become a free agent. Now, if he does that, then the Reds are in really good shape, because I believe he has a trickle-down effect to the rest of the lineup if he is an absolute monster. So he is the top positional player for me to watch on the 2020 Cincinnati Reds. When it comes to the top pitcher to watch for the Reds this year, I'm looking no further than the guy who started opening day last year, and that's Luis Castillo. Look, Sonny Gray had a better year overall, if you look at the numbers, than Luis Castillo did in 2019. It's a good problem to have if you're the Reds, if you got two guys that are just that good. But I think Luis Castillo has shown over stretches over the last 2 years that he could be one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. He's going to be in the Cy Young race for this season, because I believe he's going to put together a full season. In 2018, he had a rough first half, but a really good second half. In 2019, they flip-flopped. He had a really awesome first half, not so great a second half. I think this year, he puts together one full good year. A couple of rookies for the Reds who might make impact debuts in 2020. I'm looking first at Tyler Stevenson, the catcher, who he's got a really great bat, something that Tucker Barnhart really isn't that adept with. He's a really good defensive catcher, but I think Stevenson can come up and kind of carve out a role for himself as a good offensive catcher. One other guy that could be interesting to watch if he develops super fast is Jose Garcia. The Reds are really thin at shortstop, and he could be an impact rookie at that position. For the Reds in 2020, my best guess is that they win 89 games. They win the National League Central, and they do make a deep playoff run. They get to the National League Championship Series. They just come up a little bit short as they go up against the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are crazy stacked. But overall, a very good year for the Cincinnati Reds in 2020.
Hello, Reds fans. I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Baseball, with a couple of players for you to consider for this 2020 Major League Baseball season. Walks can be a bit of an issue, but 27-year-old Luis Castillo has emerged as a bona fide ace. He struck out 226 in 190 and two-thirds innings last season, building up from the previous season. Aside from a tough stretch early in 2018, Castillo has performed like a number one starter, and now that the Reds should be more competitive, he should be a fixture in that role. By no means am I suggesting that you shouldn't like Eugenio Suarez, a 28-year-old who just hit 49 home runs last season and has back-to-back seasons with more than 100 RBIs, but I might suggest that it would be unreasonable to expect him to duplicate a season in which he had a home run fly ball rate of 29.5%. The other issue is that he has been supremely durable, with more than 600 plate appearances in each of the past four seasons, but he's been limited in spring training as he recovered from off-season shoulder surgery. just enough reasons to exercise some caution.
Jeff Carr is doing double duty today, as he's going to be talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates.
What's up? This is Jeff Carr, host of the Locked On Reds podcast. Today, we're going to take a look at the 2020 Pittsburgh Pirates. Want to do a season preview for them and looking at the big overall question, the big picture leading into 2020. What's the main thing that the Pirates will be looking for? Really, it's to set up the future. What is the direction? Where are the Pirates going? It took them forever to get their new general manager, Ben Sherrington, and their new manager, Derek Shelton, in place. And by the time they had all of that set up and ready to go, they'd already missed out on part of the offseason. Now, granted, the Pirates weren't really expecting to be super active this winter. They have a lot of young guys, a lot of great prospects coming up. No real need to block these guys. You want to figure out what you have. But at the same token, they completely excuse themselves from the table, as it were, because of the whole situation with Neil Huntington and Clint Hurdle and the fact that it took forever for it to get resolved. So now here are the Pirates sit. They do have a great young core, and to see them continue to grow would probably be one of the main things to look at this season. How will Josh Bell continue to handle being the anchor of the lineup? Will Gregory Polanco come back and be healthy and provide some insurance and protection in the lineup for Josh Bell as well? Because I think those guys could be really strong in the middle of the Pirates lineup behind a couple of really high average guys in Kevin Newman and Brian Reynolds. And really, when you look at those four guys, depending on if the Pirates, and that could be another storyline as well, is if the Pirates tend to keep Gregory Polanco, if they don't trade him, then is he part of that core? Because that's a pretty solid core of hitters to build around. Here's the part for fans of the Buccos that's going to be hard, is that looking at the win-loss column, probably not the best way to determine the success or failure of 2020. Look, there's not going to be a lot of wins. There's just not. This team is young. They're trying to figure out exactly what they have. Brand new manager, brand new general manager. There's a lot of turmoil there. And just to figure out if you've got some really good young players who can be the future of this team, if you can see Kevin Newman and Brian Reynolds continuing to perform at a high level in a Pirates uniform, as well as Josh Bell, how do you build around them? When it comes to the best or worst case scenarios, I think a lot of that has to involve how they continue to stockpile talent. We always talk about small market teams and their windows, whether they are in a window of contention or in a window of rebuilding. Unfortunately, the Pirates are currently in that rebuilding stage, which you want to stockpile talent. Can they make a deal to trade Gregory Polanco, you know, once he proves he's healthy, or do they want to commit to him? That's going to be a big thing, and that is why he is a position player to watch for this team. He's the most intriguing guy to me. I think we know who Josh Bell is. He is a super talented dude, one of the best players in this game. And you look at Kevin Newman and Brian Reynolds, a lot of young, promising talent there at the top of the lineup. So what is Gregory Polanco? Is he an asset to gain more young talent, of which the Pirates farm system is looking pretty decent? There's an impact rookie that we're going to talk about here in just a minute. But how do the Pirates continue to build around that? Because you're not just going to have a couple of guys and then have a great team. Then we take our look at the arms. There's lots of goings on here. You still have Chris Archer around. Can he bounce back a little bit? He had a disappointing 2019, especially considering what the Pirates gave up to acquire him. So does he bounce back in 2020? The interesting thing, too, will be the health and performance of one Joe Musgrove. Can he continue to be that durable dude at the top of the rotation? 27 years old this year. He's going to be a force for the Buccos for a couple of years off the mound. And also, who joins him? They've got some really young, talented arms, but are they starters? Are they relievers? That's really the gist of 2020, is figuring out everyone's role. You've got guys like Nick Birdie and Edgar Santana who look super promising out of the bullpen. How do they continue to develop this season? Just a lot of young, exciting prospects to look at. And then, of course, none other, as far as positionally going back to that side, than Ke'Bryan Hayes. Ke'Bryan Hayes is kind of a dude who's in the same ilk of Luis Robert in that there are some rumblings that maybe the Pirates will give him one of those contract extensions before he even starts accruing Major League service time. Ken Rosenthal reported over the offseason that if that were to happen, he could possibly be on the opening day roster, and you won't see the Pirates play service time games with him, as so many other Major League ball teams have done with their top prospects. So what do they have in him? I mean, he's looked good in the spring, decent average, pretty good slugging, but what we know about the spring is it really doesn't mean jack for the regular season. So how does he develop? The key word for 2020 is development. Look, the Pirates are going to be at the bottom of the NL Central, but can they make some noise? Can they play spoiler for the NL Central for a very crowded division that really looks like it could be a 3 or 4 horse race? I bet the Pirates have something to say about that with their young core, and we'll see just how well that unfolds under new manager Derek Sheldon in 2020.
Hello, Pirates fans. I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Baseball, with a couple of players for you to consider for the 2020 Major League Baseball season. I don't love the Pirates lineup, so a shortstop who had 12 home runs, 16 stolen bases, and hit .308 as a rookie is worth considering. That's Kevin Newman. That was more pop than he had shown in the minors, but if the 25-year-old can build on those power numbers and still offers stolen bases, then he's a good late-round option for a middle infield slot. Now, one of the Pirates I'm not so high on is right fielder Gregory Polanco. A gifted outfielder who can hit with power and run, Polanco has not really put it all together in one season. The 28-year-old has a couple of seasons with at least 20 home runs and 4 seasons with double-digit steals, but he's a career .252 hitter and played in just 42 games last season. Take a flyer on him late, maybe, but don't get seduced by potential at this point.
Well, there you go. That's our look at the NL Central for 2020. Thanks a lot to Scott Cullen of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Check out Sean Sears at Locked On Cubs, Ben Carson of Locked On Brewers, and Jeff Carr of Locked On Reds for their shows. And hey, big thanks for Sean Woodley for putting this all together at the Locked On Podcast Network. You can listen to us at the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app, and check us out wherever you get your podcasts. This has been the Locked On MLB Podcast for the 20th day of March, 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Stay safe and wash your hands, and you can call me Sully.